So we've been on a journey through the second major section of the book of Genesis. Now, the first major section is Genesis chapter 1 to 11. And it starts at creation and goes past the Tower of Babel. And it covers how many years? Who knows? About 2,000 years. That gives us half of the Old Testament timeline. That's incredible, isn't it? The second major section in Genesis is from chapter 12 to 25. It spans over only 100 years. What is that about? About the life of Abraham, or Abram, as he was first called. And what a remarkable life his is. What makes it so remarkable? Abraham walked with God. He had a real relationship, even a friendship, with the one true and living God. The Lord called him to leave his pagan life behind and to go to a land he would show him. And he gave Abraham a complete set of promises to bless him and to make him a blessing. And Abraham responded by following as the Lord was leading. He took his wife, his nephew, and all he had. And as they went, Abram worshipped the Lord and he called upon his name. So far in Abram's journey, he was taken to the promised land of Canaan, where he dwelt in tents. Then he had to go and stay in Egypt to survive a famine, and that almost cost him his wife. Upon return, a quarrel broke out between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, which ended up in them separating from one another. Then war broke out, and his nephew was taken captive. So Abram rallied just the group of soldiers he could muster, and they went and rescued Lot. What a journey. Going into the unknown, facing hunger and danger, temptation and tension, war and whatnot. And through it all, God was with Abraham, leading him and keeping him. And Abram trusted the Lord. And as he did so, his trust was tested and it was refined. He had to make choices and learn from his mistakes. But one thing was unwavering, and that was God's faithfulness towards Abram and towards God's own promises. And this is the security and the beauty of the relationship that God formed with Abram. Abram was walking by faith in the faithful and relational God. And this is what made Abram such a notable person, even an exemplary one, his wonderful relationship with the God of the Bible. Today in Genesis 15, we see how God takes that relationship and commitment to Abram to the next level. What did God do? He sealed the relationship with a covenant, which is the highest and the strongest level of commitment in a relationship that there can be. What's a covenant? Kids, have you heard of a covenant before? What is that? Let me give us a definition to have a good lesson. A covenant is a solemn commitment to an intimate and permanent relationship with its duties and benefits. Let me say it again. A covenant is a solemn commitment to an intimate and permanent relationship with its duties and benefits. Sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? A husband and a wife willingly make a serious commitment for a close and lasting relationship with all its responsibilities and privileges. Now, the amazing thing is that we're not talking here about a marriage between a husband and a wife as such. We're talking about a covenant that Almighty God enters with a creature, Abram. In our text today, God, if you like, places a wedding ring on Abram's finger. And so he seals the relationship with commitment to Abram, the strongest possible commitment. Wow. Let's look at how God did it. And then we will consider what God's saying to us through it. Our text, Genesis 15, starts with the words, after these things. After which things? After Abram risked his life to rescue Lot and many others. Remember, four kings from the east overpowered and plundered the five kings of the plain where Lot chose to put his lot. In faith, Abram answered the SOS, and the Lord, the Most High God, delivered the enemies into Abram's hands. This was a remarkable victory. It didn't go unnoticed. Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and priest of the Most High, came to bless Abram from God and God from Abram. And then Bera, the evil king of Sodom, came to demand from Abram and offered him property as a reward. Strange. Because neither was the king's to give or to demand. He lost it in battle. Both now belonged to Abram, who recovered it. Nevertheless, lest the evil king thought he would enrich Abram, Abram gave the whole lot to him. It's after these things that Genesis 15 verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Interesting phrase. The word of the Lord came to Abram. God's word isn't a dead word. It's alive and active. It comes to people. And it impacts people. And the phrase, the word of the Lord came, occurs over 100 times in the Old Testament. And typically, it comes when there's going to be a direct revelation from God to a prophet. And so what follows in the chapter is a direct revelation from God to Abram as if he was a prophet. And it's a revelation that will have a profound impact on Abram. What's the direct revelation? Firstly, that Abram shouldn't fear. Why would he fear? Well, perhaps the four kings of the east, whom he gave a good hiding, was thinking of returning the compliment. Perhaps they were plotting a retaliation in order to claim what they lost and to restore their wounded egos. And Abram had just said no to all the rewards of war by holding on to what was rightfully his. He could have enlarged his estate and be a king overnight. But no, he said no to it because his heart was set on something else. And it weighed heavy on him. And it's precisely at this time that the Lord appeared to Abram in a vision. And he called Abram by name, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Notice how gentle God is with Abram. How personal. Don't be afraid, Abram. So God puts his finger on Abram's concern. And then he gives Abram the most amazing comfort. Not, here's a shield to protect you. No, I am your shield. I protect you. And not, here's a heap of gold as your reward. No, I am your reward. I offer myself in relationship for your service. Wow. You don't get better protection and reward than that, do you? If the Lord Himself is our protector, what could we possibly fear? If He is our reward, what could we possibly want? Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Dear Christian, you have God as your shield and your exceedingly great reward. You have nothing to fear. And you have nothing that you lack. And as long as you hold on to the Lord, you'll have His protection and you will have His blessing, and it will only get better. Surely this assurance would have put all Abram's fears to rest. Not yet. Abram wasn't settled yet. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. In response to God's gracious visit and great assurance, Abram had a complaint. And he put it into prayer, which is actually Abram's first prayer recorded for us in the Bible. He cried out, Lord, Yahweh. And so he said, Sovereign Lord, my heart aches. I am childless. Now, childlessness in those days was viewed as an unmitigated disaster. Without children, there was no one to preserve your family name and estate. And there was no one to look after you in your old age and no one to bury you. To add to the agony, God had promised Abram many descendants. He's done it multiple times already. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, 12 verse 2, chapter 12 verse 7, chapter 13 verse 16. Thus, Abram had a point. Now, his prayer wasn't a reckless accusation against God, but it was the cry of someone who took God's promises seriously. It turns out that his prayer was actually a prayer of faith. There's a lesson in this for us. When we pray, we should pray God's promises. Why? Because that's exactly what God's going to do. God always keeps His promises. And what prayer does is it keeps us while God is working out His promises. And so Abram effectively prayed, "How long, O Lord?" As we see so often in the Psalms. And since God was taking so long, Abram feared that perhaps God was going to fulfill His promises in a completely different way. He figured that the way that God would probably then do it is through His servant Eliezer. And his thinking was, what I need to do, I need to adopt Eliezer as my son. And God will fulfill His promises through my servant, who is now my son. But there was something in Abram that was terribly discontented with it. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8 gives us a clue. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abram, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." Did you get that? When God promised Abram to bless all nations in him, the gospel was preached to him. There was a gospel seed planted in Abram. And this gospel seed caused him to expect the promised seed. And the promised seed, says Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, is Christ. And this seed had to come from his body. In his classic commentary, the Puritan and Presbyterian pastor Matthew Henry observes this. Listen carefully to what he says. He says, "Abram herein had an eye to the promised seed. All was nothing to him if he had not the earnest of the great blessing and the assurance of his relationship to Messiah. It was as if Abram said, this and the other I have, but all avails me nothing if I go Christless." So Abram's biggest fear wasn't so much that he would be childless, as it was that he and us would go Christless. This is the disaster of disasters. Without Christ, the nations will not be blessed, they'll be cursed. Without Christ, the nations, you and I, and everyone else, is lost. So much for Abram's prayer. Let's look at God's answer in Genesis 15, verse 4 and 5. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Again, God's powerful and penetrating word came to Abram. And it came to make a decisive end to any idea that Abram's heir would be an adopted son. No, God gave him direct revelation that the promised seed would come from his body. And to strengthen Abram's faith in his promise, the Lord took him out at night to look at the starry night sky and to count them. Now, kids, have you ever gone out at night, a clear night, trying to count the stars? It's impossible. They are countless. Previously, God has said that Abram's descendants will be as the dust of the earth. Now he says they will be as the stars of the sky. And later he will say they will be as the sand of the seashore. The point is this: Abram's descendants will be numerous. Of course, in the light of the New Testament, we know that Abram's descendants, ultimately, are not Jews just, but all believers. All people who had a true faith in the Lord of all time. That includes Christians, us. So how did Abram respond to this? Now, before we looked at Abram's response, we shouldn't forget that Abram at this time wasn't a spring chicken. He was well over 75 years old, and his wife wasn't much younger, and she was barren. So, humanly speaking, it was impossible for them to have a baby. How then did Abram respond? Look at Genesis 15, verse 6. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abram believed God. He actually took God's word as truth, and he trusted God to fulfill his promise. In the text that Eric read out to us in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 22, gives us commentary on what was actually happening with Abram. It says, he, Abram, didn't weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning God's promise. But he grew strong in the faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. God's word of promise made Abram's faith strong and unwavering. That was his normal response to God's word. No matter how impossible it might have seemed, to Abram, the impossible became possible when God promised it. Actually, not just possible, but inevitable. What's the promise? To produce the promised seed who is Christ from his own body that's as good as dead. And so Abram rejoiced to see the day of Christ. He saw it and he was glad. And it's this kind of faith that God credits or counts as righteousness. What does it mean? People who put their trust for a right relationship with God in Christ and continue with that trust, they are the ones that God declares righteous. The people who believe the gospel are the people God saves. They are the people he has a covenant relationship with. The Lord promised Abram about the promised seed. Now he's going to go on and make a promise about the promised land. In Genesis 15, verse 7, we read, and he said to him, that is the Lord, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Now here the Lord confirms a promise that he's already made twice before. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, and 13, verse 14 to 15. And so by now, Abram had a triple promise that God would give him land. And so how does he respond? Again, Abram prays. And his prayer is simple. It's in verse 8. O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it, the promised land? He addresses the Lord exactly the same way. Sovereign Lord, acknowledging that the Lord is the one with supreme power and authority over everything. Nothing is beyond God's ability. Whatever he promises, he can perform. It's easy for God to do it. There's no problem for God. Abram believed it. And so when he asked God that he could know that God would give him the promised land, he wasn't doubting God. He was sincerely asking God for a sign to strengthen his faith. It's perfectly fine for us to ask God to strengthen our faith. It's a good thing to ask that from the Lord. So, what was the Lord's answer to this prayer for a sign? His answer starts in verse 9 of Genesis 15. And it goes all the way through to verse 21, the end of the chapter. And the answer comes in two parts. A covenant ceremony and a prophecy. Let's look at both. First, the covenant ceremony. The Lord commanded Abram to prepare a range of animals suitable for sacrifices. And Abram obeyed by cutting them in half, except the bird, and placing them in two rows. And then when the birds of the air, the birds of prey, would come down to eat them, he would shoo them away. And then the sun was setting, and God caused Abram to fall into a deep sleep, like he did Adam. And a thick and a dreadful darkness came over Abram. Then a smoking, firing pot and a flaming torch passed through the rows of animals. In Genesis 15, verse 18 concludes saying, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Or more literally, he cut a covenant with Abram. That's how the Hebrews would talk about making a covenant. And now we can see why it's cutting a covenant. All these sacrificial animals were cut in two. So what's the meaning of this unusual ceremony? Now, in the ancient Near East, the parties of the covenant would walk between these sacrificed animals. They were cut into two. And that was to demonstrate their commitment to the covenant. If they had to break the covenant, may what happened to these animals happen to them. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 18. Now, in this case, Abram didn't walk through the sacrifices. He was in a deep sleep, remember? But the Lord did. The thick darkness, smoke, and fire were signs of God's presence. Amazing. God moved between these sacrifices to demonstrate his commitment to the covenant with Abram. As if God had said, may I be cut in two if I don't keep my covenant with you. The whole ceremony is filled with symbolism that foreshadows what will happen to Abram's true descendants. But we don't have time to go into that. But we do need to say something about the prophecy, which is the second part of God's answer. The prophecy in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 16, is about Abram's descendants. What does it say? Three things. Firstly, they'd live in a foreign land for four centuries, where they will become slaves. So it refers to the slavery in Egypt. Then the prophecy talks about the Lord judging these oppressors and bringing his people out with great possessions. That refers to the Exodus. And thirdly, in the fourth generation, when the sins of the Canaanites had reached their full measure, the Lord will bring his people, Israel, into the promised land. That refers to the conquest. Just by the way, when Israel went into the promised land and cleaned out the place, They weren't land grabbers or land stealers. They were God's instrument of judgment on the wickedness of the people in Canaan. So in summary, to Abram's prayer for a sign about receiving the promised land, God cut a covenant with him and gave him a prophecy that covers his descendants' slavery, exodus, and conquest. So God sealed his promise with a covenant, and he gave Abram a preview of the future and how he will fulfill the covenant. This is a marvelous assurance. What is the Lord saying to us through our passage this morning? I think the primary thing that God is saying is, he is the covenant God who commits himself to an intimate and permanent relationship with his people, which provides to them the greatest protection and the greatest reward. How does he do it? Through the promised seed and the promised land. Concerning the promised seed, we've seen that Christ is that seed. And we've noted that Abram could see it. He saw the day of Christ. Concerning the promised land, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, we see that while Abram was living in tents in the promised land, he was looking forward to what? A city whose designer and builder is God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 tells us that God dwells in that city. And in that city, God is the God of his people, and his people are his people. So the promises God made to Abram find their ultimate fulfillment in Christ and in the heavenly land. And Abram had an eye for both. And so do all his true descendants. Do you have an eye for Christ? Do you have an eye for the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly land? Well, if you do, then never lose sight of it. Found your faith in it. Who then are the covenant people of God who will inherit the promises together with Abram? Listen to Galatians chapter 3 verse 9. So then, those who are of faith in Christ are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Are you in this covenant relationship with God? If you are, then let your faith be fixed on what God reveals in his word concerning Christ. Therefore, let us follow in the footsteps of Abram, the man of faith. And let us rest on Christ alone for our salvation and for our eternal land. Amen.